Good morning to you all, and wish you God's blessings. I have on my heart to share a message with you, which I preached not long ago at home. Out of Gospel of John, chapter 8. Before we go further, I would like to read that passage here, beginning verse 1 down to 11, including. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. So you probably know already what it's about, yeah? We very well know this passage. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act, notice this, in the very act, the accusation is real and obvious, you know. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man accused thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I believe all of you have heard some of messages on this passage here. And I did. And I've used that to this message in the past already. Maybe not once. I don't know. So we look at this passage. And here for sure we find something out, something to learn out of this passage. The title for this message, I choose to have this question here, which Jesus asked the woman. Where are those thine accusers? Where are those thine accusers? All of us in our life for sure have experienced or noticed sometimes just unjust accusations. Is somebody here who hasn't? You can lift a hand. You know, even the little children know that, experience that, every one of us. Doesn't that happen? Children. If something happens in the house, and the parents notice, and then quickly, well, it's her, it's him, you know? Does it go like that? You know? It's very real in our life. Very real. We've been accused, and we accuse. Right? Did we find out that we accused others? Or we never did? I guess we do. Sometimes maybe not with words and deeds, but in our mind, things go around, you know? This happens. When we try to justify ourselves in accusing the others, be it right or wrong, you know, it happens. Do we deserve or not? It happens. So the focus is not on women here. The focus in this message will be the accusers. As I read some scriptures, or they came to my memory scriptures, like a scripture, the accuser of brothers is cast out. You know, I started thinking and came to this passage. And so, you know, accusations and their heart, and their heart. And we, when we've been accused, we try to justify ourselves. It's common to us. We try to justify ourselves. You know, but I found in this case, he is a just accusation. But reading this passage, I didn't find there was a justification in no way here. Because it says in the very act, there is nothing to justify. It's so real. So, but if with the accusations, if somebody accuses somebody, so we know out of life, there is laws, courts, lawyers, and all of that. Something is going on if somebody accuses somebody, yeah? Right? It's true. And so it is before God, too. We sometimes accuse. And we become accused of somebody. And God noticed that all. And out of the Bible, we find that for all the wrongs will be a judgment. Judgment is coming. Judgment will come even if nobody accused us, if nobody even found out that we are doing something wrong. The day of the justice will come, where God will set up the throne and will judge small and great and everyone. Hidden, open things, everything will be come before God. So, judgment. What is judgment? If we say judgment, court, and court decides, yeah? So if the court decided this person, accusation, he is an accuser, he is somebody who did something wrong, so judgment is set, courts decide, you've been wrong, you'll be right, and so on it goes, yeah? And what happens with those judgments. What does this try to achieve, you know? The judgment is kind of, I've explained it, what it is, or what the judgment does accomplish, it is to stop the evil, yeah? Somebody did something wrong, and it is brought to the courts, and the people decide, and they want to stop the evil. Yeah, basically stop the evildoer in his track. And God also in his word has promised, I will read just a couple of scriptures here. First Chronicles. Just a couple of them, not many. Chapter 16, it says so, verse 33. I'll read the 32 and 33. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out of presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. So God will judge everything, because there's a lot of accusations, and we have an accuser before God, the devil. If you remember the story of Job, how that devil was accusing him. Another scripture out of Psalms 96. Verse 13, before the Lord, let's read 12 too. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the woods rejoice. Kind of repeating these words in Chronicles, yeah? Before the Lord, rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. You know, with his truth. Accusations are different, vary. Sometimes just accusations, sometimes they're wrong. And we know that the courts have done mistakes, people been accused wrongly and suffered for years in the prisons, sometimes unjust. Even some people lost their lives because unjust accusations. So a couple more verses in Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 18. Says so, and the nations were angry, and the wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servant the prophets and to the saints, and them that fear thy name shall be small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. So it speaks of that the judgment is coming. God will recompense everyone. for the wrongdoings and also for good. Chapter 20 in Revelation. Read that. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither the image, neither the, had received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with the Christ 1,000 years. So he rewarded those which were true, walked in truth, not in sin. Evil is sin, yeah? If we look at this, scriptures explain to us that all the evil is sin. And God comes to set an end to evil. So it means bring back to beginnings, before the evil broke out, to peace. We know out of the Bible, there was a time when everything was at peace between God and man. God created everything, and it says it was good. There was no evil. Something missing. There was nothing missing. There was peace and God fellowship with the people. But today, in the today's society we live, in today's world we live, we know there is so much evil. And the Bible speaks of that the evil will increase, and we see violence all over. And all of us, I believe no one desires that that should continue and increase, and we will face that over and over. No. We all of us wish, and I actually sometimes pray that God stops that evil and stop the Satan and his host of which serve him, and so that God bind him and give him the right reward which he deserves. We wish that evil will stop, and God has promised it. We see here in this case, in John chapter 8, sin is committed. People are affected, and he is confusion. But if you have read, you notice that the law was set that such sin, both parties should die. Both parties have to be accused. But we see here only one party in this sin. Injustice again, confusion. Yeah? Every sin, every evil deed brings confusion. There's people which have been affected by it. beyond this couple which committed the sin, it goes further. It affects the others around and sets up people which want to deal with it. And he, in this case, are those accusers. And we see this people coming to Jesus. And the law is clear. That law was given, was clear. Kill. No grace, no mercy. It's so clear, written in the law of Moses. And I believe if the law would not demand that, people would deal differently with it. But the law demanded that. And so now, kind of what happened by the fall of Adam and Eve, God, you are at fault. The accusation started right there. Yeah? The woman you have given me. So Adam was the first who was accusing. You commanded by Moses unto us that such should be stoned. Now Moses in the law commanded us. They say it to Jesus. They bring it and say, okay, here is. Here is the law. We see that he is a group. I don't know how many, but for sure there were enough that they have surrounded that lady and put her in the midst so that she has no chance to escape. Now they want to deal with it. Zealous people. We want to uphold the law. That's how it works. We want to remove the, and that law was given. God said, "At such a way, on such a way, you remove the evil out of your midst." But look here in verse 3, it says, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman. Zealous people. Brothers and sisters, everyone, what wonders me here often, it's not the world accuses that much. It's most of the time those which know the word of God have hard time and the biggest accusers. The scribes and the Pharisees, they wanted to have justice. They had no mercy. May God protect us from such hearts. Were they really so zealous to keep the law and keep the nation so pure? If we look into the Bible, what the Bible describes, how the Bible describes us, those Pharisees and scribes, they were not without the fault. And so it goes until these days. People accuse one another. They want of others, they want grab and hold and accuse and hold the mistakes in front of the other's face, not looking back. We have seen a lot in the last couple of years of such a things, a lot, especially after that word COVID appeared. There's so many people have suffered because of that law. You should not go and she should not visit. You should not come over. You should never let, nobody let into your property, into your house. And people suffered just because of that. Somebody want to hold up that thing so hard. Many people have suffered and even died because of that law. Just for simple reason, they wanted to see, especially at one case, for a son wanted to come over and to see the parents, to visit them. he was not allowed to come by the parents. They wanted to uphold that law so hard, they were didn't allow the son to come and visit him. He lost it. It was so hard for the man. He knew he was perfect, he was okay, and all okay, and he lost it. He took his life. So hard. People have suffered. You know, and this happens all around us, happened a lot of them. People even doing good deeds got accused. Because of the letter of the law. The Pharisees doing here this. Without any heart in it. But notice this, what happening here. These people, they said this, tempting him. They were tempting him. These accusers were tempting now God's son himself. They knew that Jesus claimed to be a son of God. They heard of that. And now they are tempting him. And come and bring this lady to him and say, what says thou now? Accusers, tempting God, the Son of God. Let's stop here and change a little bit here. When I was thinking about this whole matter, my thoughts went away from this, so to say. And I focused on Jesus, how he acted here and what he was doing now. Let's read in Matthew chapter 13. verse 11 and 12. That's John saying about Jesus, yeah? I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with the fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will truly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Notice, it said about Jesus that he will purge his floor. He will bring justice in. He will remove that evil, yeah? It's been said of Jesus. And now, these people stand in front of him. Master, it's about you. What do you do with this? Here's a test. A real test, purging the floor. And Moses said this. How will you do that? What will you do in this case? Jesus has a test here, which he has to stand. But look what's happening here. We read in James chapter 1, starting here, verse 17 a bit. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So far. What is happening here? So I was reading these words. Jesus was doing exactly this. Swift to hear, slow. And look at what he's doing. He just stooped down and writes there. He was thinking there, writing there. I don't know what he wrote. Maybe the speculations, what he did write. I don't go into that. And he was doing exactly that, what is told us in James. Look, chapter 12. Verse 13 and 14. He is said such a thing. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made you me a judge or a divider over you? Well, it said that he will purge his floor. But he says, Man, who made me a judge over you? What does the scripture say to us? What did Jesus come for? Okay, John chapter 3 describes to us exactly very good what Jesus came for into this world. And how he would purge his floor. John chapter 3, verse 16, 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John chapter 8, verse 26. Jesus says, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. So Jesus got a command of his Father. He thinks a lot about these people. What he's saying here, say and judge, it doesn't mean that he will now set up a court and judge them and give each one according to their deeds and reward them. But He says, I'm hearing of my Father. And the Father said in 3:17, we see here, it says, for God sent not his Son unto the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, John chapter 12, 47 and 48, is even more. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, says Jesus. There he asked, who made me a judge? What do you want of me? I don't judge. I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, my words are not mine, but they're of my Father. I hear them. And I tell you, the words of my Father, yeah? That's what Jesus is saying. Not my words. Receive not my words. Has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So Jesus makes it clear here. When he preaches and goes, explains what his mission is. So, and Jesus is here now in thoughts of his mission. When he has been put to test what his mission is, and he explained that, and we know out of the Bible, when we read, we hear a lot, which the word says to us, judge not. With the judgment you judge, you will be judged. Jesus is not judging, and it's not given us the right to judge. And for us, we see that Jesus stooped down and wrote something. Do we take time? In the times when it comes tough, things appear, start to roll around us. We face something. We have to make a judgment. Do we take this time to think about what we are for in this world? What is our mission? Whose image we are? And it says, he acted as he thought, heard them not. But then it says, so when they continued asking him, seemingly, what, master? No answer? They were tempting him. Is a dead end for you? Your wisdom ran out here? What do you say? Well, it's not so. John chapter 1, verse 17, we read so. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Here's a change. Here's happening a change. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, said so. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It's to us. If we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, we have to do something about it. Here is a change happening. It's about you and me, not about him or her. It's about us. It's turning around just like this, not like this, you know? Check out your heart, your own heart. Here's a turning point. Check out your own heart. Do not go after others. If you see a mistake, somebody made a mistake, somebody maybe even used an inappropriate word or acted out of the frame, be careful. We are quick to judge and often too quick. Do not force them to comply with what you think. Jesus lifted himself up. It's not a dead end for him. He knows how to deal with this. He came to save. And he left himself up and says, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." Look here, not at her, they're in the midst. Till now you have looked in the midst. Now you looked all around, find somebody with a fault. Now, turn around. And then, again, what Jesus is doing here, give time. Let the grace and truth work, moved by the Holy Spirit, and finally the change will come. There will be more intercessors than accusers if we work that way. Right? Jesus stooped down and wrote again. He didn't pay attention to them, to these people, what they were doing, what is happening there. He didn't accuse them. No. He just gave time. And what happened? We know what happened there. But he is one. The intercessor. It's the greatest intercessor in the world which ever been, which the world ever has seen. The only one for all. For you and me. And look what happened. As he was on the cross, and he was still interceding, he was not accusing. He was pleading with the Father, "Father, forgive them." The goal is to save, not to accuse. And we, just today in the morning, pray that Lord's Prayer, yeah? And what does it say there? "And forgive us as we forgive our debtors." So at that moment, we can't see anyone around us where we can point a finger to. Yeah, right? That's how serious it is. And as he was done, waiting for a while there, he lifted himself up. And looks, what a glorious moment No one is around. Just a woman. Jesus won the battle. He purged the floor. The accusers run. Forced by their own conscience. No one. And he asked, "Woman, where are those 10 accusers? Has no one accused you? Condemned you?" She said, "No, not one, Lord. Not even one." Can this be said of us? Of you and me? John 12:47, I think we did read that. Jesus said his soul, 47, "And if any man hear my voice and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." And then he says, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Brothers and sisters, have we experienced that grace? The law of Moses is still standing against us. But Jesus came to save us. You know, brothers and sisters, watching into this world, I know that the world is in evil shape and bad shape. And it seems to me that there's many people, and often called Christians, which never have experienced that, what is shown us here. They're still standing with the rocks in their own hands, ready to throw them, or throwing already them all. Not repenting for the conditions of their own hearts. Not seeing themselves, their own hearts, or at least as this scribes and the Pharisees, shame-covered faces, leave the scene. There's too much of that. You know, one of the examples, which was a good example, one lady or sister which come to the Lord, and she lived with her father, which was unbeliever, and she was before unbeliever, but somehow the gospel came to her and she became born again, and she followed Christ, and she badly wanted that her father becomes a Christian too. And she tried with so many ways, but in some of her ignorance and zealousy, she did make mistakes. And the father used it to accuse her and make her laugh at her, mocked at her, and so seeing that she fails, and so, and it came so far, because she so badly wanted to that the father changes, and so it came so far that she became violent against the father. Well, she wanted the right thing. But it came to the church. So church came together. to decide what to do with her. So they heard her out, seeing that her heart was good and she wanted the right thing, but she made so many mistakes. So she deserves a punishment for such a mistakes, for being so violent. So they heard her out and sent her out to make a decision. What should they do with her? Now, they talked and talked, seeing that she wanted the right thing, but it didn't turn out. Something was there in her, was that condemning spirit. She wanted the right thing, but she wanted it her way, and seeing the father all very wrong. And so what they've done then, okay, instead punishing her, you want to forgive her. He decided, we want to forgive her, accept her, leave her in the church, and we will pray for her. We will intercede for her, and we'll do what we can the best to support her. And she was already set up. They will cast me out, and I'm done. So her heart was like a rock already as she came again, and they told her what they have decided to do. You know, shared with her that she wanted the right thing, but, you know, there's mistakes. There's things we want to pray for you. We want to forgive you that and help you in your life and so on. Yeah. And there she melted. Nobody accused her. Nobody accused her. She was forgiven, and there she melted. She broke down, and from there she went home. And the father watched her, thinks, now she will come home, and now she will be even worse. But she came home like a lamb. He watches her one day, the other day, the time passes. She is only praying for her father, not telling him a word anymore. Not seeing the faults in him. She might have seen, but not mentioning those faults. Not accusing him of anything. And God did his work. Not long after, the father came to the Lord too. So we can be different. We can act different. And if Martin Luther said, the history says, when he came to the faith, Christian faith, he wanted to convert the Jews, and he badly wanted to convert them. And he tried very hard, and in his trying, he came so far as he noticed that he couldn't do that, convert the Jews to the Christianity. He became a persecutor. He started to kill them. It is history says by hundreds of thousands killed of Jews, Martin Luther, because it didn't work out. How about us? You and me? How do we approach those which are in living in sin and so on? Are we of those accusers? You know, here in this case happened the purging of the heart. And may it continue to do in us. When we see somebody failing, let us check our hearts first. And if we are free, then we are allowed. You know, if our heart is free, we are completely free, then we are allowed to approach the next one and help the next one. Look at this, what it's saying here in Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 11. Nine to 11. It says so, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God, our God, and the power of Christ, of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcome him with him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives until death. It says that the accusers of the brethren is cast down, which accuses day and night before God. This is his end. And the time of peace comes. Brothers and sisters, all Christians, children, remember that God forbid that any one of us may be found to be his helpers, the devils, which has been is an accuser, so that we will not be found in his ranks being accusers and share the end with him. May we be found in the army of Jesus Christ being intercessors, looking inward, not outside. God bless you.